I was doing my Barry White singing voice, not my talking voice.
Oh.
Yeah, the Barry White talking voice is like, girl, we've been on this adventure for many years now. And then in the background, you'd hear like a, oh, no, no.
Chicka-waka, chicka-waka.
Oh, no. That's right, yeah. Yo, I love Can't Get Enough of Your Love, Babe. And I was listening to it with a friend the other day. And at the end of the pre-chorus, he's like, look what you got me doing, my darling I. Like, that's the actual words, my darling I. But it sounds like he's saying, oh, my God. Like, and so we just, every time he says, my darling I, we put our own lyrics over it. That's all.
Good story, Tyler.
Thanks, guys.
Good story.
That song is fun. Everybody should listen to it.
Okay. All right, leaders, welcome back. This is season 3 of the Alethea Leaders Podcast. I'm here, as always, with the amazing Sarah McCarthy.
Hey, guys.
And I am Donnie Fisher, who I serve as the executive pastor at Alethea. Sarah is our director of discipleship.
Yay.
And also joined, as always, with our producer of this awesome podcast, the one and only Tyler Parker.
I'm back and I'm better than ever.
You're back. That's true.
At least back. I'm at least back. Yeah, that's true.
So, well, hey, everybody, we got a treat for you today. We've got a really great episode. But before we tell you about that, we want to go ahead and give you a little bit of a true rundown, but we want to whet your appetite for what's coming over the course of this season as we continue to press into following Jesus and leading others in that process. So, Sarah, why don't you give us some of the kind of the categories and the general themes we'll be running with in the coming weeks with this podcast?
Absolutely. So this is about as planned out as anything at Alethea, which means we reserve the right to totally change everything later in the season. But we have a couple broad categories that we're hoping to do a few episodes each about this fall. One is just difficult conversations that come up in groups or on teams around, you know, topics like gender roles and dating and all sorts of other just topics that come up really often. And often leaders will ask us like, hey, how do I talk about this particular topic? Or what even is it that the Bible has to say around this topic? So we're going to try to dig into a couple of those in a couple different episodes. Then the other big category we want to press into is just talking about spiritual disciplines as a leader and practicing spiritual gifts, what it looks like to do those things individually and also what it looks like to lead other people in them. And if we have time/episodes left towards the end of the season, we've also got a couple ideas for some episodes on faith outside of the church, like in the workplace or on your campus and in academia and so on and so forth. So
yeah,
we're excited.
We've got some big plans behind the scenes. And for some of the reasons we didn't want to totally lay it all out for you is because we're trying to finagle some good guests as well. And so we don't want to overpromise and underdeliver. We'd rather underpromise and overdeliver, right,
definitely,
Tyler?
Definitely.
Yes.
That's actually pretty much my MO. That's how I live. Always underpromise, always over, or something like that.
Keep the bar low. That's right. What Tyler says.
Always keep the bar low.
Keep the bar low.
That's right.
So, but hey, for this episode, we actually had the opportunity a couple days ago to sit down with some of our newly installed elders. I'm so excited for you to hear from them. Basically, we wanted to introduce you all to some great men in our church, some great leaders in our church who've basically raised their hand and express the desire to serve our church in the capacity of elders. But beyond that, we as leaders and elders, the current eldership team, I being one of them, have spent time vetting them, if you will, and just really kind of trying to discern the call of God on their lives. And we have just recently said yes and amen to that call being on their lives. And so we had the opportunity to interview them and talk to them, hear about that call, hear about what they're excited about in our church and some of the other tidbits of their wisdom. And so for those of you who do not know the one and only Joseph Maxwell or the one and only Ron Eccles in our church, this, I hope, will help serve you in two ways. One, to get to know them, for those of you who call this church home, But for any who are listening to this podcast, that you would hear some about how they were called into the roles of leadership that they serve, and also their heart for leadership, and even maybe help you as you continue to bring your gifts to the table, and the unique way God has wired you, and might help give you a vision for how you might apply that to the body of Christ as well in your own specific circumstances from hearing their story. So without further ado, I think, Tyler, are we ready?
Always ready,
Don. All right, let's hear what Joseph and Ron had to say to us. All right, everybody. Glad to be back with you. I'm here, as always, with the wonderful Sarah McCarthy.
Hey, guys.
Who is more and more pregnant every day.
It's a true story.
Doing great. Doing great. She might fall asleep.
So much energy, everyone. She might so fall much asleep energy.
In our recording. But that's okay, because sitting here with us to help keep her awake is the one and only. Ron Eccles is here with us. I'm so excited to have him. But also Joseph Maxwell. Good to see you, Joseph.
Hello. Hello.
And so you've probably heard these names around Aletheia a little bit over the years. But by the time this airs, Sarah, we will have just ordained these two men as our new elders at Aletheia. That is
Pastor Ron and Pastor Joseph.
That's right.
To you, Pastor Donnie.
I'm so sorry, gentlemen. So we're glad to have them with us. We at Aletheia, for those of you who don't know, use the term elder and pastor pretty interchangeably. And so, but glad to have these two gentlemen here with us today. And so, Sarah, I think we got a few questions for them.
Yeah.
And so our goal for our time together today is to simply get to know them a little bit better. We realize our church has grown, and our leadership, our key leaders, those of you who are group and team leaders who listen to this podcast, your ranks have swelled. There's some of those of you who are new and may not have connected with Pastor Joseph or Pastor Ron in recent years. But we wanted to introduce them to you so you get to know a little bit more about them. So today, just in our brief time together, we're going to be talking a little bit about their story, but also about how they were called into this role, what it looked like, how God kind of brought them to this place of specific leadership within our church, but even beyond that, what they're excited about in this role. So those are kind of the topics that we're covering. I'm sure we might go on some tangents or trails. Maybe Ron's great idea for his side hustle that he's got coming up, which this could help you promote in this time, Ron.
Yeah,
so it'll be really good. But that'll all be with us later. So, but yeah, gentlemen, you excited? You ready to play a round of 20 questions or 3 questions or whatever we got today?
Let's do this. Yeah,
awesome. Well, Sarah, why don't you lead us in? Why don't you start us in this moment?
I don't know if this is what Donnie thinks I'm about to say, but Pastor Donnie, my first question is for you. Will you clarify or elaborate for people who are listening who might be newer to Aletheia what it means to be an elder at Aletheia and what that role looks like and, what it is that these two men are stepping into?
Sure. Great question, Sarah. Thanks for that. To just briefly, for those of you who may be new to our church or new to even the question of what the Bible has to say about leadership, there's this level of leadership in a church that Paul talks about and actually is addressed a few times in the New Testament. But a quick one is just in 1 Timothy 3, verse 1. I'll just read this to you and explain to where what these men are then going to be doing. The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer or elder, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife. Check. Good job, men. One wife. Sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how can he care for God's church? He must be not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. There are other places in the Bible that talk about this role, but basically the gist is this. These are some of the qualifications. Basically, you're looking for those who serve as basically dads in the church. And so in many ways, we're recognizing what is already true about these men, elders in a church are certain called men of God who basically raise their hands who are willing to take responsibility for the health, the spiritual health, and even the physical health of the church body. And so Ron and Joseph are have raised their hands saying they're willing to do that. So we're excited about that. But we've also taken some time to kind of vet them. We've spoken with their spouses and looked at their families and prayed with them and spent some time talking about deeper issues and hearing how they would handle things. And they've already been an asset to our church in the ways that they serve. But this is just a new season almost us, honestly, just recognizing what's already been in their heart and God already placed in their heart. I think, wouldn't you say that, men?
I agree. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
And so yeah, we're excited to have them in that role as church dads, but on an official thing where they raise their hands saying they're taking responsibility for the church in an official capacity. So does that answer your question, Sarah?
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks, Pastor Donnie.
All right. You're welcome.
So the question he thought I was going to ask before that, we would love to just hear your testimonies and a bit of your story. If you guys would introduce yourselves, especially people listening who haven't heard you or met you yet. Pastor Ron, would you take us away and introduce yourself a bit to us?
No, absolutely. My name is Ron Eccles. I am known as the husband of Hillary. Everybody knows Hillary.
Yeah, she's amazing.
She's amazing.
She's pretty wonderful.
We have been married for about 20 years. And I actually came to faith early in my life. My dad was a pastor. He had a radical salvation and led me to the Lord when I was really young. And then I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, something very similar to what you guys would know with our encounter weekends when I was about 11. But I didn't have a lot of discipleship in my life. Before my dad got really radically saved, he and my mom had split. And so I didn't have him in my life very often. And so growing up, I didn't have a lot of discipleship. And I went to college, and it was really at the tail end of college where I interacted with a church very similar to Aletheia in North Carolina. Where that my life really pivoted, and there was a pretty exciting change that happened there. I got really integrated into this church, and really some of the foundations were reinforced deeply inside of me. So much so, I was leading community groups, and my pastor at the time came to me and said, "Hey, why don't you go start a church in Greensboro, North Carolina?" Which is just typical, right? And I actually, for the first time, laughed. I wasn't completely laughed like in his face, but I laughed like overtly out loud, and he didn't. And I got really scared. And so I went home, and as I prayed about it, I just knew that that was something that God was calling me to do. And so at the time, I hadn't even met my wife yet. And so in a period of about, I would say 9 to 10 months, I started building our team to go to another city. Entree Hillary, she comes into the picture. We got to know each other very briefly. Very briefly. It's not how I completely recommend that you start a marriage, but we we got to know each other for, it was months. And then there was one moment in the month of August where I quit my current job, proposed to my wife, moved to a different city, and we launched our church.
Oh,
all wow. The same. How old were you? I was 25 at the time.
25. Okay.
Yeah. I'm 27 today, but no, I'm kidding. But, and so we started the church as a engaged couple. Wow. And the church got off the ground and went, and we had staff, and it looked very similar to Aletheia. I was so encouraged because you could walk in on a Sunday and you didn't know what type of church that it was. It was just a church of people who loved God. We had people from all different ages and different backgrounds, and it was just the way, very similar to the way Aletheia is. And we were in the ministry for about 7 years, helped out with the church plant in Philadelphia as well, and in New York. And then I went back into the workforce, and where I've been since, and I work in pharmaceutical research now, which those two, of course, go together, church planting and pharmaceutical research.
And, pipeline, really.
Really, you know. And so, and I've been here, and I moved to Boston about 6 years ago, and I work in Kendall Square. Mm-hmm. And my heart for people and my heart for ministry has always been there and just has not changed a bit.
Yeah. And you got several children as well.
I do. I have three very, very wonderful, two extremely large children. My guys.
Tall.
Tall. Right? Not large. Yeah, tall. My two boys and a girl, William, Jonathan, and Karis. William is 17, Jonathan is 15, and Karis is 13. So I have three teenagers
God bless you.
That I get to try to feed every day. They're amazing.
I've seen your sons eat. That is amazing. Amazing is the right word.
I know. You just throw food toward them now, and they gobble it up. But no, they're wonderful kids. They all love the Lord. They all look like their mother, and we were all relieved. So
praise God.
This is good.
I have bad news. If they turn out like our producer, Tyler, they're going to be eating like that for the rest of their lives. So Tyler doesn't have a mic, everybody, but he's still here. So we're going to make fun of him anyway. So,
and then he's going to get us back in the way he edits the podcast. It's all going to come back around.
So, my advice, Joseph and Ron, is to be nice to Tyler and you'll sound really good later.
Nice. So,
but cool. Great. That's awesome. So you said 6 years ago, you've been in Boston for 6 years now.
I have.
How did you end up at Aletheia?
So when we moved here, we actually had some temporary housing in Kendall Square, and my father-in-law knew of Aletheia and recommended that we go try it out. And so we made the extremely long drive from Kendall Square all the way up to Central.
Didn't even walk it.
Because at the time we thought you're supposed to drive. And anyway, we tried and we parked, came, met Adam, and the rest is history. So we will have been here for... We didn't look for another church after that. Mm. We let's see, it'll be 6 years in November that we've been at Aletheia.
Okay.
Loved it ever since.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Glad to have you. More glad to have Hillary. Glad to have you as well.
That's usually the way it goes. Yeah.
Joseph, what about you? Same question that Sarah threw out there. Tell us a little bit about your story and your family, and you don't have to go in the same order, but how that worked out with you coming to, follow God and getting us to this point.
Joseph Maxwell here. Let's see. Wife is DeAndrea Maxwell. Yeah. We have been married 20 years, August 1st of this
that's
year.
Amazing.
So both of y'all been married 20 years.
20 years.
Both some similarities in our stories. Yeah. Very similar to Ron. While Ron, in a matter of months, got to know Hillary and married, it only took Deanna and I about 9 or 10 years once I met her in order to get married.
Yeah.
No, but...
She was waiting for a lot to get worked out, Joseph.
There was a lot to work out. And I'll tell you a little bit about that. No, but I came to know Christ when I was a teenager. Let's see, when I was 13, it was kind of an interesting situation. When I was 13, my dad sort of left the house, and I had an older brother and two younger sisters, and one was a newborn. So I was 13, had a 16-year-old brother. And then 4 and 0 years of age. Wow. And my mom was kind of suffering from some mental illness. So there was a lot at play in our house. Wow. And I start there because while it was a time that I was sort of stepping into some new responsibility, me and my brother all of a sudden being sort of the men of the house, we were still teenagers. And with all that freedom, we started to explore the world in some ways that maybe the Lord wouldn't shine upon.
Yeah.
So, but luckily, there was someone in our church that I had begun to attend a little less frequently, who was over the youth ministry there. And she really reached out to me and pulled me into youth ministry. And within about a year and a half of that is when I came to Christ. And he really did do an immediate change. The word says that you become a new creature, and there was a lot of new creature work that happened right away. But then also just a lot of things to work out over the next many years. I got very much engaged in youth ministry and began to sort of travel around the state of Mississippi a little bit and helping to speak to other youth in other youth ministries in the state and do some racial reconciliation work at the peer level. So I'd really sort of jumped into things right away. From there, went off to college and came to the Boston area. And this is I was an undergrad at MIT, so got my first taste of Boston. I said it was the first of three tours because after I finished school, I went away to my first job out in California at JPL. Then came back for my second tour, which was my second job, went away again, and this time to get married, moved to Texas, and then got married there in Texas, and 5 years later, we moved back, DeAndrea and I, now with two of our three girls in tow for our third tour. I know. I haven't been able to do it. And every time I've left, I said I wouldn't come back. So, of course, the Lord always knows differently. But that's sort of a little bit of my testimony and how I got started. And how I arrived at Alathea is DeAndrea and I and our two girls, and then our third born here, we had been to a couple of different churches that we had been faithful members of. But I have to say, it was the extravaganza.
Yes.
So great.
I remember
many years ago that drew our attention to Alathea. And it was a very, you know, we grew up in the South. We sort of traditionally had Easter egg hunts. They didn't seem so common here. And Dion went looking for an Easter egg hunt. She's like, man, I really want to do an Easter egg hunt as a family. And she, I don't know, Google, where whatever it was, she somehow found the one that was being put on in Cambridge Common by Alathea. Yeah. And we decided to, Dion actually went on the website of the church, listened to a couple of messages from Pastor Adam, said, hey, I should take a listen. We listened to one together and said, let's go check it out. And we haven't left since. Yeah. We came here the first Sunday, stuffed some eggs afterwards, met some family. And we've been here ever since.
Wasn't that the year it rained in Cambridge Common? Was it 40 degrees and raining?
No, that was the year after. Okay. That was the year after. This one actually was somewhat picturesque, cool. I remember everybody wearing jackets, but it was nice, dry.
Yeah, I knew I liked you when I saw you and your family because you were stuffing eggs. And I was like, I have no idea who that is. And somebody said, that's your first Sunday. I'm like, I got to meet this guy. He's already surfing.
Every year when we start prepping for the extravaganza, somebody is in staff meeting. It's like, just remember, guys, this is how we got the Maxwells.
Every year,
Keep your eyes on the ball.
Keep your head on the swivel.
There's another Maxwell family out there somewhere
stuffing
this year.
Eggs. So it was great. Awesome. All right, so let's just move on from there then. I want to talk a little bit about eldership. Obviously, that's the point of us sitting here talking to you. Being an elder is no better than any other call of a church. Being the center of God's will is the best thing for each and every one of us. Mm-hmm. But God always speaks to us and he calls us into different things. And so I thought it might be helpful for us to just even hear how you felt like the Lord calling you to this place of eldership, because I think it could inform and in a myriad of ways, what other people are walking through, even if it's not specifically eldership that they're being called into, but this is a significant step, and one in which you did have to kind of discern the will of the Lord. And so, maybe we'll go to Joseph first on this one, because how long have you been in Alathea now?
Five and a half years.
Five and a half. Yeah. Okay. So rough, almost as long as Iran. How did that happen for you? Getting called, you feel like you were led into this role of service or responsibility within our church family?
Yeah, I tend to be a servant leader, so to speak. In my home, in the community, I always seem to somehow, out of doing the right thing, end up with my nose in something, and serving a group. And I think I've served in various capacities here on, different teams here at Alathea, and have just gotten to know people here. And I care a lot about people's walk with God and wanting to encourage them on their journey. I think I look at people, the individual, and no matter what team I'm on, and I work to just sort of, help individuals grow and be encouraged and grow in their walk. So I think that just led me to different places here at Alathea. And so in some ways, maybe I had a heart for the work all the time.
Yeah.
Elder was not something that I knew of as really a title and was a position that I was seeking. And definitely if you had told me from the beginning I would have to be called pastor, I probably just would have said no outright.
Not gonna do it.
But, when I was approached by Pastor Adam, it was definitely something that I, you know, I had to sort of grow to understand, okay, what is it? And to really take some time with the Lord to understand if it were a commitment that I could step into for in some ways, you know, I have the heart for it, but the key was time and making sure that there was time for it. And it's sort of interesting because when I went into prayer about it, you know, the Lord kind of gave me a pretty instant response. And there are kind of two things he said, you know, one was a go. And then the other was, you know, it was really a step of faith. Yeah. And he really wasn't going to show me the way, so to speak, in terms of, you know, what he didn't give me a vision of what it would look like, but a go, and that it was a faith walk with him. Mm. And I think that sort of says what my journey has been with him. Over all these years from when I was saved, back when I was 15, you know, I haven't always seen what's ahead, but it's just part of the ongoing journey of growing and serving him. So that's that.
Good. Cool. Same question, Ron, for you.
Yeah. So for me, I've been familiar with the role of pastor before, as I mentioned.
Right.
But I think when I came to Olathe, I was just excited to be here, to serve, to get involved, to meet people. Mm. And I know that Donnie and Adam and I both, all three of us had a conversation about the potential for me to step into an eldership role. Would I consider it? And yeah. I took a good bit of time. You know, good meals have to be slowly cooked. And so this took a long, long time for me just to know.
It was like a pot roast, like in a slow cooker.
It really, really was. Yeah. I guess I was late. But anyway, hopefully not overdone. But the point was that I took some time and really just prayerfully considered it, because it wasn't something that you do lightly.
That's
something
true.
That yeah. you mm-hmm. that you enter into with as a response to something. Not mm-hmm. just because people whom you love said to do it. Mm-hmm. It was something that I really needed to make sure that it was what I was that I was supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And I remember, for me, it was very gradual. My heart changed for this church. I've always liked the church, mm-hmm. loved the music, mm-hmm. loved the groups. You know, I've enjoyed the people. But something shifted in me from enjoying the people to starting to love the people. Mm-hmm. And it was as if there were chambers of my heart that started to open up. Mm-hmm. And I would start to interact with people. And my regard and care for people just really came online. Mm-hmm. Not that I didn't care before, but there was a newness that was there. And so that was also coupled with the more I would get around the leaders and the there was something inside of me that really resonated. And I just, and then at the same time, the Lord also really had dropped in my heart that it was time for me to basically to obey. It was a little bit different than yours. It was kind of like, hey, Ron, you know, open the email that says unread. Why don't you open that and let's go forward with what it is that I've called you to do. So I responded in that regard after talking to my wife a good bit because she's in this too. So.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great. So you and both lead already some of the things. If you're not familiar, those of you who you know, attend our church, Ron has helped. How many classes now have you and your wife taught?
I don't know. We do a lot of the premarital counseling classes that are here.
Yep. And that just turned out like one day I said, hey, Ron, I need you to do this. I'm overloaded. And he took it.
Yeah.
I instantly overloaded you with that.
It's been exciting.
It's like when I handed the class to Ron, people actually started getting married. So it's like, good job, I guess.
You timed it perfectly.
I see coming down the line, like
80 engaged couples.
I saw this freight train coming.
That's Ron, right. you're in.
That's it.
But so we're still working with that and still tweaking a little bit, but great job, by the way, you two, you and your wife. I'm saying this to her as she's here, but I'm sure she'll listen to hear how awesome you are on this podcast. So Hillary, if you're listening, great job. The two of you have done an amazing job with that class, and we're excited to know where that goes. Obviously you can't counsel everybody gets married in our church. We're way beyond that already, but thanks for helping set a culture in that in our church. You're already depositing. Appreciate that. Same with Joseph DeAndrea. For those of you who don't know, they've really stepped in with prayer and have really helped continue to grow that, not just muscle in our church, but the culture. Mm-hmm. And so the experience that y'all bring and I'm not making fun of either of your age by saying this, but the way that you're helping us grow, like I said at the beginning, we're already basically what we're recognizing is a deposit that you're already making as right. in serving our church. So I just want to say thank you. So if, again, if you want to see these men and their and their even their wives and their element, you can get married or you can just come to prayer. So or both. And so
you need both.
You need both. And yeah. So when the time is right for the marriage, do seek out that class that Ron and Hillary have helped us build, but also just the culture of prayer that's being built. I invite any of you to come on a Friday night. Joseph and DeAndre aren't at every week, but they do help bring leadership to that and do help us or helping us grow into this. So yeah.
Awesome. Well, to close us out, we would love if you guys would share with us what some of the things are you're most excited about with stepping into this role in our church. Ron, maybe you can start us off. What are you most looking forward to?
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of things. First of all, I think that my wife and I, we love family, and we really build in our family strategically and on purpose. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we really hope that we can encourage folks here at Aletheia to really build in that way. Mm-hmm. And really kind of help to encourage the real principle of building family the right way and building mm-hmm. on purpose. Not just marriages, like we do, as Pastor Donnie mentioned, have the opportunity to lead these premarital classes. And we also do some counseling of folks that have already been married as well, yeah. In a pastoral setting. But I think for us, I think I'm excited about seeing families built and grown, mm. and because that's a great way to form disciples, right? Mm-hmm. It's you've got your own ecosystem there in your own home that you have the opportunity to really be a conduit of the presence of God and let Jesus do what only He can do, mm. and cause life to come in these wonderful children. Psalm talks about that our children are like arrows that go out into the world and that they're going to hit mm-hmm. the mark. And it's our responsibility and privilege to be able to build up the right kind of kids that'll go and that'll hit the mark. And this culture is not necessarily friendly to families all the time. Mm-hmm. So it's really important to really build in such a way that husbands and wives love each other. And they love each other that in such a way that they're an example to the rest of the world of Christ. Because this is one of the most important human relationships on the planet, is a husband and wife relationship. Mm-hmm. And then also because the kids are going to watch as well. And sure. so you get to. So I'm excited about that, about family and also about seeing people. Lastly, about seeing everyone in Aletheia really grow into more of a vibrant and authentic and genuine relationship with the Lord. Mm-hmm. Something that you're willing to go and do anything that He tells you to do, that mm-hmm. there's nothing that you would say, this is off the table. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about it the other day. I have one of these notes in my iPhone with different passwords on it. And so never grab my iPhone. But anyway, the point, but it's like if you were to hand that over to the Lord and say, here are all my passwords. Change whatever you want. You can do anything you want.
Yeah.
And I'll let it be. So that's
what I'm excited about.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
Amazing.
Joseph?
Yeah, I would say, I guess let me start with, actually, I want to go back to something Ron said. It's very interesting what you learn about when you're talking together. But in our family as well, we have this motto, which is we build. Mm. So that you spoke about building, and that is something that resonates with our family as well. We always want to use words that build each other up as well. Mm. And I guess that kind of hedges a little bit into what I'm excited about here at Aletheia. You know, I've been here 5.5 years with my wife and kids, and yes, we've grown as a family in being here at Aletheia. But the family of Aletheia has grown as well. Mm. And I'm not just really talking about the numbers, so to speak, but, you know, there's been this sense of, you know, those who've been here, there is a spiritual maturity that's happening among some of the leaders here, some of those who come through the doors here. And you see this push for beyond just breadth, but this push for depth of relationship, just what Ron was speaking about. And what I have a sense of what's coming is God really caring about how we love one another in this body of Aletheia. And, you know, we can't do that without him. We can't love well without him, especially the kind of love that he's calling us to. I mean, you know, his, you know, salvation is a radical love, an expression of a radical love that he has for us. And he wants that same for us to use with one another. So I'm excited about being on the journey with Alathia, with what the Lord is doing to do and what the church is called to do, which is to mature Christians. I think it's in Colossians 1 where Paul is writing about the role of essentially the church is to teach and admonish and to present those who are in the church as spiritually mature to Christ. And that's our role. And we want to do that, you know, not in any one dimensional way, but, you know, on a person to person way where people are loving to love, learning to love better, learning to love those who they might feel are difficult to love. You know, someone who doesn't look like you, someone who doesn't think like you, someone who may not worship the same way you worship, but teaching us how to radically love one another in that way. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited about being a part of that and the work that God wants to do in the body of Alathia in that way.
Yeah. Awesome.
Awesome.
Well, gentlemen, I really appreciate your time. I mean, we're just scratching the surface. I hear right here. I realize this with both of you. But I just do want to say, like, for those of you who are listening, like, these men, they make me want to follow Jesus better. And when I meet those kind of Christians, those are the kind of people I want to get my life around. And I'm not just saying this because they're actually getting set in as elders of our church, but I mean, just talking with them on the sidewalk a couple of nights ago, like late at night, and Joseph like asked me a random question. The next thing I know, he's praying for me. And it wouldn't even start there. I'm so thankful for men who love us, our church, this much. And for just examples of leadership being wanting to see us all mature and grow together and being excited about that more than about all the stuff we get to do. I think that's telling.
Yeah.
But gentlemen, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for raising your hands, being willing to serve in this way and for loving this church and loving our King. So it's going to be a joy to walk with you or continue to walk with you. I already have been.
Well,
Is that it for us? Tyler, are you giving us the thumbs up? Are we about done with this awesomeness? That is a delayed thumbs up, but I think that is. So I think that also means we're over time, Sarah. Is that what that means?
Probably. We normally are.
Well, again, one more time, Joseph, thank you. Ron, thank you.
And yeah, thank you so much.
You'll see these guys around the church. All right, there you have it, leaders. That was honestly just an introduction to the depth of who these men are, our newly installed, ordained elders. Now Pastor Joseph and Pastor Ron, I hope you get the opportunity to meet them. Obviously, we're in a growing church and sometimes it can be hard to connect relationally, but I guarantee you, if you walked up to either of them and introduced yourself, they'd love to talk to you at our church. They've been a blessing to my life, and I hope that you'll experience the fruit of their ministry for years to come here at Alathia. I'm encouraged. Sarah, you encouraged?
Yeah, this was awesome. I got to hear tons of their story that I hadn't known before. So this episode was really fun. I hope you guys enjoyed it too.
Yeah. And Tyler, I'm assuming you're going to do a great job of editing, and this is going to be an all amazing podcast for us together, right?
That's right.
As always.
Well, leaders, until next time, this has been the Alathia Leaders Podcast. We love you all. God bless.
See you soon.